It was yesterday. Okay. Now, yesterday, before that was the day that the law book had made.
Oh, fine. So. Okay, go ahead and sign in for that when it comes by.
Okay, thanks.
Go ahead and fill in. Double check when I pass the roll book today. Make sure, apparently yesterday or the day before it missed a roll. So make sure that it's accurate here. Take away.
Okay, several things here to do today. First of all, let's go ahead and finish those exercises. Just have a couple pages more to do on that. Then I have some more vocabulary words to put on the board for another vocab quiz coming up. Try to take a vocab quiz in between the grammar quizzes here. Take a little breather with one of these easy vocabulary quizzes. Okay, well, we want to add some verbs to our vocabulary and so forth, a few more nouns and adjectives as well. Okay, we left off on page W55, top of page W55 on our lesson 13 exercises. So we'll go through those quickly and get that out of the way. Be sure and bring up any questions you have. The model at the top of this page, the child has the bread, to technon ton arton eche. And model 20, sentence 21, the child has had the bread. So in this case, we're going to use an aorist if we don't really have anything else. So to technon ton arton, what would you put in there? Eske, yeah, eske or esken. Right. Epsilon sigma chi epsilon, or with optional nu. Okay, number 22, the child shall have the bread. Ta tekna ton arton, what? Hexe. Gotta watch that breathing mark. Hexe. Okay, that's a future form, and it's irregular. We've got the rough breathing. So it's epsilon with rough breathing, xi, epsilon iota. Oh, another point. Yeah, I went ahead and used a singular verb form here. Why could I get away with that? Neuter plural. Yeah, neuter plural. I just decided to do that. Now, if you wanted to go ahead and put a plural form, hexousin, that'd be fine also. That'd be acceptable. So hexousin or hexousi would be acceptable. But I went ahead and put the singular just because I wanted to remind myself of the fact that that can occur. That's probably the way you'll see it most often.
In the singular form?
Right, in the singular form, with a neuter plural. Now, you don't get neuter plurals that often, but when you do, you'll generally get a singular verb form. Okay, and then number 23, the children used to have the bread. Ta tek ha to an artone vine. Okay, echon or eche, whichever way you went. So again, it's a neuter plural, so you could use either the singular or plural form. So either echon or eche. Epsilon iota chi, epsilon or epsilon iota chi, omicron nu. Okay. Now, regardless of which way you put this, you might make a note in your workbook or something that this can take, you know, if you put the plural, make a note that it can take the singular and vice versa. So it'll be a reminder to you in case you're reviewing. The point is, see, if I give you a test and if I have you write something in Greek, and you'll have an option of doing one or the other. But I may give you something in English, and if you don't know this mechanism, it'll look like I've written it down wrong. You know, if I put a singular verb form with something like ta tekna, so you need to be aware that that'll happen once in a while. Okay, number 24. We have the bread. Ton arton, blank. Echomen, right? Echomen from. Just the present form, epsilon chi, omicron mu, epsilon nu. Number 25, you plural have the bread. On our tone, blank. Eskete, right. Have had the bread, I'm sorry, I didn't read that right. Yes, it's eskete, it's aorist. So epsilon, sigma, chi, epsilon, tau, epsilon. Question? No, it's a second aorist. Mm-hmm. It's a second aorist, so you've gotten a stem change. You might have been a little confused because there's a sigma in there, but it's in the wrong place. So it's actually a stem change. And so it'll be ete because it's a second aorist. Okay? All right, number 26 then. The new model here is the Lord is leading the disciples. Ho kurios tus mathitas age. Okay, number 26. Ho kurios, the Lord will lead the disciples. Ho kurios tus mathitas blank. Axe, right. Alpha, Xi, Epsilon, Iota, Alpha, Xi, Epsilon, Iota. Future form, third person singular. Okay, number 27, they were leading the disciples. Tus mathetas, what? Egon, Agon, Eta, Gamma, Omicron, Nu. Okay, that's your regular imperfect. Number 28, you plural were leading the disciples. Tus mathetas, egete, egete, eta, gamma, epsilon, tau, epsilon. Okay, that's an imperfect. Number 29, you plural are leading the disciples. Tus mathetas, agete, right, agete, alpha, gamma, epsilon, tau, epsilon. And number 30, you plural have led the disciples, using an aorist. Tus mathetas, egagete, yes, egagete. Eta, gamma, alpha, gamma, epsilon, tau, epsilon. Second aorist. Which one? 29 should be agete, alpha, gamma, epsilon, tau, epsilon. Just a present tense, second person plural. From ago.
Alpha, tau, epsilon, or epsilon?
No, epsilon. It should be epsilon, tau, epsilon. It's alpha, gamma, epsilon, tau, epsilon. For number 29. And number 30 is also epsilon, tau, epsilon, because the second aorist. Number 30 is eta, gamma, alpha, gamma, epsilon, tau, epsilon. Okay. Page 56, model at the top. The apostle is baptizing the slaves. Ho apostolos tus doulos baptize. 31, the apostle has baptized the slaves. Ho apostolos tus doulos. If you want to say tus mathetas, then we had that example earlier. All right, what verb form do we want here? Has baptized. Consider this aorist. Yes, ebaptisen, or ebaptise. Remember, it's the apostle, now it's the subject, so you want a third person singular, and you're going to need an aorist, so you have the augment plus the change of the zeta to sigma. Zeta is one of those dentals, so it changes to sigma. So ebaptise, or ebaptisen. So it's epsilon, beta, alpha, p, tau, iota, sigma, epsilon, with optional nu. Number 32, the apostles were baptizing the slaves. Hoi apostoloi tus doulos, blank. Ebaptizon, yes, ebaptizon. Epsilon, beta, alpha, p, tau, iota, zeta, omicron, nu. Just an imperfect, so you don't have anything happening to the zeta, but you do have the augment. And then you get those imperfect endings. And this place, third person plural, so that's omicron, nu. Number 33, we shall baptize the slaves. Tus doulos. Baptisomen. Make sure it's the sigma there because it's future. The only difference between the present and the future is the sigma versus zeta. So baptisomen, beta, alpha, p, tau, iota, sigma, omicron, mu, epsilon, nu. Number 34, they will baptize the slaves. Tus doulos baptisusin, or baptisusi, right. Beta, alpha, p, tau, iota, sigma, omicron, epsilon, sigma, iota, optional, nu. Number 35, you singular are baptizing the slaves. Tus doulos, blank. Baptizes. With zeta, epsilon, iota, sigma. So total spelling, beta, alpha, p, tau, iota, zeta, epsilon, iota, sigma. Okay, number 36 here. The model is the soldiers pursuing a widow. Hostratiotes, cheiron, dioke. Number 36 is the soldier was pursuing a widow. Hostratiotes, cheiron, what? Okay, ed dioke, or ed dioken. Just the accent there. You've got a short suffix, so you're going to get the accent in the antipenult. And iota, omega is not a diphthong. That's two vowels. So ed dioke should be spelled epsilon, delta, iota, omega, kappa, epsilon, with optional nu. Third person singular. And imperfect. Okay, number 37. The soldier will pursue the slave. Hostratiotes ton doulon. Dioxe, right. Dioxe. Delta, iota, omega, xi, epsilon, iota. Okay. Number 38. The soldiers have pursued the slaves. Hoi stratiotai tus doulos, blank. Edioxan, yes, edioxan. Epsilon, delta, iota, omega, xi, alpha, nu. Aorist form there. Okay, third person plural, aorist. Number 39, they will pursue the soldier. Ton stratiotain dioxusin, or dioxusi. Good. That's delta, iota, omega, C, Omicron Upsilon Sigma with optional, Sigma Iota with optional nu. Number 40, we are pursuing the soldiers to Stratiotas Diocomen. Yes, Diocomen. Delta Iota Omega Kappa Omicron Mu Epsilon Nu. Okay, any questions? Yes, Mike. Mark.
Could you repeat number 22?
22, okay. That should be Hexa or Hexusi, depending on whether you used a singular or plural. But it's rough breathing on the epsilon here, and Xe, an epsilon iota for the singular, or omicron epsilon sigma iota, optional nu for the plural. Okay, any other questions? Okay, you can use that for review now whenever you deem it appropriate.
Let's take some time now to put out, I'm going to put these on the board just like we did last time. This is vocabulary for your next section of vocabulary list, vocabulary words. And we'll have some nouns, some adjectives, and some verbs. I'll put them all in that order. First, the nouns. And same as before, you learn the dictionary form with the nouns, you learn the article. So just learn it as I put it down here. And the adjectives, of course, you have the other information. The verbs isn't too much. Just use the first person singular. Active form, indicative active, present indicative active. So first the nouns. Hey and tole. Means commandment. Hey zoe. Life, there would zoology, zoo, so forth from this. Hey, himera, the day. Too much of a space between those. Hey, himera means day. Hey, cardia. Heart. Cardiograph, and so forth from that. Heart. Hey, parabole. You know what that is. Parable. The idea is from para and balo. Para meaning beside and balo to throw. So parabole means a parable, something thrown beside. The idea of a story, a truth being thrown alongside of a story. Okay, hey phoné. That's the first declension feminine here. Means voice. Okay, hey hora. Hour. O curios. You should be familiar with. It's Lord. You can either refer to deity or humanity. Hey, agape. It's a real easy list. You already know most of these words. Love. So ergon, neutering here, means work. Physics students will recognize the root there from erg. Erg is a unit of energy in physics, and the idea of work or energy is what we see there. So to ergon, comes from the Greek word ergon, meaning work. To angelos, angel or messenger. Double gamma here. So we just important to take note of that so you don't. The English transliteration is A-N-G-E-L, but it's double gamma in the Greek. Remember the two gammas get the first one pronounced like an N. Okay, let's side of the board here. Hey, hodos. We've already seen that in paradigms.
means way or road. ADFAK covenant. O prophetes. Prophet. Todendron. Any guesses as to what that means?
Tree.
Tree, right. You get the word rhododendron. I mean, rhodo means red and dendron means tree. Okay. Yeah, I suppose, man, maybe that comes from Tree of Love or something, I don't know. Maybe. Okay. The dendron's definitely tree. Hey, Thalassa. Which means sea. The Red Sea or whatever. Hey, Basilissa. Queen. A lot of words that have this basic root. Basileus means king, and Basileia means kingdom. Basilissa is queen. Atrophos is a second declension feminine. Atrophos, excuse me, means nurse. A couple more nouns. Hey, gay. Circumflex on the Ada there. Means land or earth. You get the word geology from geology, you see. Study of the earth.
Earthwards.
Right. Hey, Timay. Means honor. Two more. Hey, Glossa. Hey, glossa means tongue. Familiar with that word, I think. And get word glossary and so forth from that. And hey, hamartia. Rough reading. Means sin. Okay, does everybody have everything on this side so I can...
Anybody not have everything on this side? Okay, I'll wait a minute until you get that part done.
Glossa tongue, is that both the idea of speech?
Yeah, the actual member and the idea of speech. Language.
Could you...
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. As soon as everybody's done with that part, I'll give you some adjectives and some verbs.
Why?
Give you a balanced diet here.
Why would Angelos be a messenger? Wouldn't that be...
Yeah, angel or messenger.
Angel or messenger.
Yeah. They give you pretty simple meanings for these vocabulary. Technically, messenger.
It's from a verb meaning to announce, to bring a message. Like before on the vocab quiz, you'll be responsible for the breathing marks, but not for the accent marks. But it's still a good idea to learn where the accent is, just to know how to pronounce the word. Okay, is everybody okay on this side now? Okay.
Okay, the next category is adjectives.
Pistos. Remember, the dictionary form of an adjective is going to include the feminine and neuter endings, and that's a and on, meaning faithful. The verb is duo, meaning to believe. So, eskatos. And that's also eta on, means last. You probably heard the term eschatology. It comes from eschatos, meaning the last. It means end time events, last events. Okay. Kakos means bad. That's eta on again. Means bad. And then the opposite is kalos. Eta on means good or beautiful, depending on the context. Mikros and that's alpha on because the stem is in a row. Means small or little. And you've probably seen cognates in there, micro, micro, or micros. Protos, or protos, oops, circumflex. Protos, eta, on, means first. A lot of words, prototype, and so forth, from that. And a lot of Greek words have the same root. Firstborn, prototokos, from this. Okay, idios. Let's see, alpha, on, means one's own. So, If you had a modifying a book or something, if it was an idios book, it would be one's own book. You know.
One's own.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't do any idiomatic transfer
to
my.
You would probably translate it my own or his own or her own, depending on what the context indicated. Sure.
How do you suppose they got the word idiot?
I don't know. I've thought about that. I wonder if it had something to do with introspective. You know, I don't know. I'm not certain on that.
Own man.
Yeah.
Mike,
yes.
On kalos, on neuter, wouldn't it be an
acute over homes? On kalos, oh yes, I think I neglected to write it down. Thank you. Okay. All right, a few more. Dexios. Okay, right. That's right. That's an alpha, omicron nu. And accents on those. And it means right as opposed to left, like a right hand. Put hand in parentheses, you know the sense in which it is. Not right meaning morally correct, it means right versus left.
The right side.
Yeah, the right side. Uh-huh. Okay. Makarios. What was that?
Dictator of
reason. Oh, that's right. That's what I name it now. But it means blessed. Makarios, blessed. It's the one that's used in the Sermon on the Mount so often. Makarios over and over again. Okay, and then heteros means other. This is a root that we see very frequently in English words that have been derived from Greek. Heteros means other, and I'll put it in the sense of different. I'll put that in parentheses down here because there's another Greek word, allos, which means other also.
But allos and heteros have a different shade of meaning. Heteros has got the idea of something different. Allos means something in additional. So don't worry about allos yet. We'll cover both those words later on in the textbook and the distinction. Another, yeah, that would be more appropriate to allos, another, and this would be just other, meaning different. Sometimes this can be translated another also. You'll see it this translated another, but it's got a little different connotation. It means a different one, and not an additional one. In Galatians, there's a distinction between these two, where Paul says that he talked about the Galatians, the Christians, having a heteros gospel, which is not an allos. In other words, they've got a different gospel, which is not an additional one. In other words, what they've got is not an additional form of the gospel. It's an optional form. They've got a different gospel. It's a different one altogether. So that distinction shows up right in one verse. Yes?
When I was doing the vocabulary for the last quiz, I just memorizing all the forms. I couldn't remember why they're giving us the neuter end.
Oh, the neuter ending for these?
Well, the reason they are, you don't really know for sure why, because they're all the same here and all these, but there is a reason. There will be third declension adjectives later on, and they'll have different endings than these. And so in order just to give a complete set of endings, you need to have a complete set to really figure out what the third declension does, so they've adopted the pattern for the first and second declension ones, even though they're all going to have omic and nu. And so to save yourself some memory load, you can predict what all of these, all your adjectives are going to either, are going to be ada own except for alpha own ones that in the stems that end in row or vowel. So, you know, you don't have to, you can cut down your memory load real quickly. Okay, there's one more. I guess I don't have quite enough room here. Is everybody done with this side? At least the first column of it?
Not y'all. Okay, one more adjective, presbyteros. Presbyteros, that's alpha on, means elder, older, or elder. And the thing can be used as a noun also, but as an adjective it means older or elder. And one's older than the other, one's the elder brother. Okay, this is an adjective now.
The thing can be used as a substantive. We talked about that before. Okay, any other questions on these adjectives? I've got some verbs now, and that'll finish out the list. Okay, most of these verbs you've already seen. Now, with these verbs, for this vocabulary, you don't need to know their principal parts or, you know, how to form all the various forms. That'll be for the grammar test. But all you need for the vocab test is just know the verb, the dictionary form and the meaning. That's all you'll need to know.
Okay.
What was that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. 12 of them. All right. Okay, well, let's... Everybody finish with the rest of this side? Okay, verbs, luo, first of all, good old standard, classic, means to loose.
Do you ever notice in a lot of grammar books, instead of using luo, that they use whatever it is for to kill?
Well, they do, almost all the Hebrew grammars use katal, to kill. And the one we're using now is nice. It uses katav to write. It makes it a lot nicer. But almost all the Hebrew grammars use. And Hebrew has a lot of verbs to kill.
Grammarologian's sense of humor.
Yeah, I don't know. The verb katal in Hebrew is a very nice verb as far as the forms. That's probably one of the reasons. But there are other nice verbs that don't mean to kill. You know, just kind of, you know, not the most edifying thing to have to learn all your paradigms. You know, I kill, you kill, he kills, they kill, and so forth. And you learn, then you learn the PLs, and I kill violently, and you kill violently. It gets pretty bad after a while. So it's better to just have that off to right. Okay. Pistuo means to believe.
Okay. Akuo, to hear. To hear. Pempo, send. Now, literally, each of these would mean, this would mean I believe, and I hear, and I lose, and so forth, but they use this as a standard dictionary form, so all I'm going to require on a vocab test is just writing down the basic meaning. Grapho, to write. Kalupto, to hide. Dioko means to pursue or persecute. Anoigo means to open. Keruso, to preach. Patho, to persuade. Baptizo, baptize. And I'll go to lead. That's it. That's all there is. Okay.
Yes. Well, they give it to baptize, but literally to immerse.
You wouldn't mind to immerse.
That's fine.
We can transliterate in Tamil.
Sure. Yeah. Immerse would be just fine.
Yeah, I wonder if the devil had a hand in bringing it across as a translation.
Well, I'm sure he did. Confuses the picture, and
sure,
and you just got a traditional word instead of something that means something.
Done a Bible study. Everything had dictionaries, but encyclopedias, and everything. To finally got out and realize that baptized didn't mean to sprinkle.
Yeah. Yeah. Tradition dies hard. Give you a few more minutes to finish writing those down. You can add these to your running vocabulary list. I don't know if you're breaking things down, listing nouns and so forth, but whatever you want to do. Now, this test, you'll be responsible only for these that I put on the board today, not for the ones before. In other words, on this vocabulary test. Now, on a grammar test, you know, people run in familiarity with these words, because, you know, for translation purposes. Tony?
I'm curious on the adjective form of pistos, mm-hmm, versus pytho for the verb.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to word this exactly, but one is translated persuade, mm-hmm, the other is translated faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they both come from the same idea, same thing with
pistuo. Pistuo is the one that directly from which pistos comes. Patho is related to these, though. And
what I'm trying to wonder is, why wouldn't the meaning be a little bit closer between the three of them? Persuade seems a little bit farther away from believe.
Well, it's kind of on the other end of it. You see, pistuo has got more of a passive idea of being persuaded, whereas patho is the active verb, to persuade someone. In other words, when you're persuading someone, you're trying to get them to pistuo. See, so it's a similar idea, but it's on different sides of the issue. The pistuo is talking about somebody who is being persuaded, whereas patho is talking about the person who's doing the persuading.
When that description says I'm persuaded,
that would that be?
I am persuaded would probably, well, it could be pistuo, but I would guess in that case that it would probably be a passive form of patho. You can double check it. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, whatever that would be, is that the one you're referring to?
Yeah.
Be Romans 8 something? In the Romans 8?
Yeah.
You might check it there. Depends on what kind of emphasis is trying to be seen there. You see pistuo very frequently, but and the idea of being persuaded, if the King James goes ahead and translates to persuade rather than believe, then it's probably, my guess would be that it would be a pistuo and be a passive form of it. Might be a perfect passive. Yeah, the face my, okay, that's a perfect passive form from patho. Now the theta, you know, see, goes to a sigma. I think you've already, the theta was a dental, remember that, so when it gets in the aorist. Yeah, there's a reduplicated syllable in the front. That's one of the features of the perfect, is you get a reduplicating syllable. For example, for luo, it'd be lelu. You get a le in the front of it. That's a typical indicator of a perfect. But we'll get into that. That's near the end of the book. Yes. Oh. Okay. So you want me to give you a number here? I didn't do that, but I can quickly count them up here. For the nouns, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. 22 nouns I've got. Okay. And adjectives, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 11 adjectives. And what we had, 12 verbs. Remember that? Okay, so 22... 11 and 12. Sounds like a chemical formula here for sugar. Okay. C12H22O11 or something. I can't remember what the chemical formula is. I didn't do that by design. You got them all there? Everybody? That's good. Hopefully, one of these days I'm going to work up a good vocab list. That's one of the deficiencies of this textbook, is it doesn't have a vocab list in each chapter. And I may have to write up something for that. In the meantime, we'll give them to you here. There are some books available. There's a little booklet, I can't remember who puts it out, but it's a list of the most frequent vocabulary. There's one for Hebrew and there's one for Greek. And it tells you words used over 100 times, words used over 50 times, so forth. Breaks it down so you can learn the ones that are the most frequent before. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to spend a lot of time trying to memorize a word that's only used once in the Holy Testament. But words that are used 500 times, something like that, those are the words you want to learn. So the words that I put on the board here, they're following two criteria. First of all, we want to try to give you as much of a range of the types of word forms that you'll see as we can. So you're able to look at just about every kind of word there is as far as forms and variety. But then also we want to spend our time learning the words that are the most frequently used in any given category, so that you're spending your time on words that you're going to see most often, first off. Yes, I'm trying to remember now where I think I just went through the exercises here and the words that he's going to be using the most frequent in the first few chapters. And that's basically what we're doing there. And then as we go now, I'm going to be bringing in other things from those sources. I'm going to be giving you words that are the most frequent in the New Testament and so forth, and we'll build vocabulary that way. Most of these words are indicative of what you see in John's Gospel as well, because that's the first thing we're going to be translating, so we want to get familiar with those terms. John?
In the Yoko, the idea there in Pursue, is it with the idea of persecuting, or in other words...
Yeah, they're pretty much related ideas. The Hebrew verbs are the same way. The same verb means to pursue or to persecute. But the idea is to chase somebody down to persecute them, or to, bring...
Is it going to be used in a positive vein at all? Is it used positively?
I don't see why it couldn't. I can't think...
Really
I can't think of any place where it is in the New Testament. There shouldn't be any barrier to it. Context has to decide whether it's persecution or just pursuing for the, you know, in other words, an army could pursue another army and in order to try to track them down. And, you know, if you're the other army, you could call it persecution. But it kind of depends on what side you're on. Okay. All right. Any other questions on that? I didn't tell you when we'll have the quiz. Let's make it a week from today. That'll be next Friday. A week from today. So we'll give you a week to mull this over. Friday the 11th of November, a week from today, for this vocab quiz. It'll be just like the other quizzes. You know, I'll give you, some cases I'll give you Greek and you give me English and vice versa. And it'll only be dictionary forms. Yes?
Dioko is used in 1 Corinthians 14 on pursue love.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, it wouldn't necessarily, obviously, we're not persecuting love. Good point. Okay, so it does have a positive connotation or a negative, depending on the situation. But it gives you kind of that violent approach to it, you know. I mean, it really means to chase it down and claim it.
And I'm in pursuit, of course.
Sure, right. Okay, yeah. I don't think so. And this example shows that you got the idea of, you know, actively seeking something. And the imagery, it is kind of a figure of speech in the Greek. They probably would have another verb that would indicate that without this forceful idea.
Yeah.
You know, there's zeteo, to seek, and things like that. There'd probably be other ways to say that without getting this forceful idea. But to use this dioko, you're getting a real graphic, forceful imagery. Okay, let's look at chapter 14 then in our textbook. Take a little bit of a break from verb forms here for a while. Get something easy again. Of course, this could be a matter of opinion, I suppose. Autos, hutos, and akenos. These are all adjectives, at least in form. Sometimes they're termed as semi-adjectives for reasons that you'll see as we go through this. But section 97, in lesson 9, we defined adjectives as words which are inflected for case, number, and gender, and then described their various syntactic characteristics and functions. A number of words are paradigmatically similar to adjectives, as thus defined, but differ from them syntactically in one or more respects. Among the more important of these semi-adjectives is the word autos, which is declined as follows. Okay, so we're looking now at words that are adjective-like, you know, in as far as their paradigms and forms, but they have some peculiarities syntactically that that cause them to differ in some respects from the adjectives we're normally used to. So autos is one of those. We didn't list that as an adjective because there's more to be said about the word autos and the way that the word is used. Now, if you look at the paradigm for autos and the full declension of it here, you'll notice that it looks very much like the adjectives that we've already seen, like kalos. The masculine, autos, autu, auto, auton, autoi, auton, autois, and autus. Same thing you've seen before with your second declension masculine endings or feminine. The feminine forms, we've got the eta type. It's very, very regular and straightforward. Aute, autes, aute, autain, etc. The neuter, though, is a little bit unusual. What is unusual about the neuter form that you can detect here? The neuter paradigm. Yes. The new is missing on the neuter nominative and accusative. It's auto rather than autone, as you've come to expect. See, for kalos, it would have been kalon. So the only unusual thing about the paradigm really is the fact that in the neuter singulars, nominative and accusative, where you would have had a new on the end, you have no new. Now, it may help you to think of the article paradigm, because remember the article is to in both of those places, rather than tone. So you see, it's to technon. You've got the new on the noun, but no new on the article. So auto does the same thing. So if you can just remember that this peculiarity is just like what the article did, that'll maybe help you and make it not quite as much of a problem. But other than that, the paradigm is just like kalos. So he makes a statement. It should be noticed that the endings of autos are the same as those of ordinary adjective like kalos, with the exception of those for the nominative and accusative singular neuter, where the ending is omicron instead of omicron nu. So that's the only thing unusual about the paradigm. Now, as far as the syntax is concerned, though, it is a little bit more unusual. In actuality, this we've already talked about the four positions that an adjective can occupy relative to an articular noun. first and second attributive, first and second predicate. The interesting thing about autos is that instead of having what we call a predicate position supplying the verb to be, this adjective can take the predicate position, but when it does, it's still attributive, but it changes its meaning. The actual meaning of the word is different for the attributive position as opposed to the predicate position. So let's look at that. Section 98, autos occurs with articular nouns in each of the four positions previously described as appropriate for adjectives. The meanings of the resultant construction should be compared and contrasted with the meanings of the similar constructions with kalos. Okay, now look, first of all, number 1A is the first attributive position. So we have ho autos kurios, which means the same Lord. Autos meaning the same. And after the model of ho kalos kurios, meaning the good Lord. So we've got first attributive position, the word adjective autos is meaning same here. Second attributive position, ho kurios, ho autos, the same meaning, the same Lord, the same Lord. The word autos is coming across as the meaning, as meaning same. And ho kurios, ho kalos, you know, the good Lord, second attributive position. Now take a look at the predicate positions. The first predicate position, autos ho kurios, means the Lord himself. So it doesn't mean the Lord is same or something like that, but like you would expect if it was kalos. It means the Lord himself. So the meaning of the word autos has actually changed here. The Lord himself. Now, it's not. I think you can see some relationship between the word same and the word himself. There is a relationship there, but it's got a different tenor to it. Yes?
I was going to say, does it have all that much of a different tenor to the Greek mind, or...
Well, that's a good question. That's a real good question. To the Greek mind, it may not be... to the Greek mind, I would say it would definitely be different than an ordinary adjective, because a predicate position with an ordinary adjective is stating a predication, and this isn't. So there's definitely that aspect to it. But as far as the Greek mind is concerned, just judging from the way my mind thinks when it's thinking in Greek patterns, that's about the only thing I can gauge by. After a while, you just look at this word as autos, and you know what it means, and then you translate it in English. Of course, you have to say himself in this case or same in that case, but there is a commonality to the idea, but it's really hard to put a finger on it. How would I say, what word would I give you to say this is equivalent to autos? There isn't, because English idioms are different. So I think that's a fair question, though. I think within the Greek mind, they're not really thinking of one of them being same, one of them being himself, because they're not thinking in English, they're thinking in Greek. Okay? But as far as the English idiom is concerned, we're stuck with this situation, and we have a difference in the way we have to render these idioms. Yes, Glenn?
With adjectives, you can have sentences that just says, ho kurios kalos, meaning the Lord is good, without
right.
a verb.
Right.
Is this situation here like you can just have ho kurios autos, period, which means basically the Lord is himself, or is this a kind of construction that you see the Lord's disciple, that kind of thing, in a mm-hmm. sense?
Right. Yes, you'll see this construction, autos ho kurios, ho kurios autos, will not stand by itself as a separate sentence. It will be part of another sentence. In other words, the Lord himself will be maybe the subject of another verb, or there may even be other adjectives. The good Lord himself. You could have that. You could say ho kalos kurios autos, the good Lord himself. In other words, this predicate position with this particular adjective will constitute just a functioning unit within another sentence structure, whereas a normal predicate position, like with kalos, will constitute a whole sentence, or at least an independent clause. You might have another independent clause, comma, such and such, but it'll constitute an independent clause, whereas ho kurios autos will not constitute it that way. That's begging for something more. It's not a complete thought. Okay.
So if you wanted to say the Lord is himself, you'd have to add a verb.
You probably would, yeah. You'd add a verb to be in there, and if you just say the Lord is himself, you'd have to add something to that. Okay. So that's the main point here. Second predicate position, same thing. Ho kurios autos means the Lord himself, rather than the same Lord. Okay. Now,
And that makes it more of an emphatic type of, you know, just the Lord himself. And in fact, sometimes you can translate the very Lord to that very one. There's another optional translation. He mentions that in the next section. So it's got almost a demonstrative effect. It's not quite, because the demonstratives are separate forms that we'll get to in the next section here. But it's got a very powerful calling attention to the thing. And it's putting lines under it, as it were, putting a real strong focus on that particular item.
Because that the Lord, he, in other words, I've seen it now primarily in the Old Testament, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I see that.
Well, there's an analogous type of thing in Hebrew, yes, but they'll use something like he, who for that, you know, the word for he. And you'll see, too, that this word autos, we're not done with it yet, because the next chapter is going to talk about the word autos as a pronoun, as a personal pronoun. As the personal pronoun he, she, or it, that's the way autos is also used. And there it's used by itself, you see, as a functioning like a noun. So you can tell the difference between the usages, because here it's functioning like an adjective modifying another noun. There it stands by itself. When it stands by itself, where you say autos such and such and make that the subject of a verb, that means he. And it's you know, a little bit more emphatic, of course, than just not... You can get the idea of he without even a pronoun, just because of the verb form. But when you see autos there, it's got a real strong emphasis. Yes, Mark?
Are all these four positions equally emphatic, or...?
Well, I think what we'd have to say is, since the meaning is different for autos in the attributive and in the predicate positions, we'd have to kind of separate the two and say that within the attributive position, I don't know that one is more emphatic than the other for the same Lord, no more so than an adjective would be in one position to the other. And the same in the second predicate position. I doubt that there's really much of an emphasis one way or the other. Maybe just a slight thing. Usually what comes first is gets a little bit more emphasis. So autos hokurios might have a little bit more emphasis than hokurios autos, but it would be minor. But you have to kind of separate them into two categories, yeah.
Another question, can a word come between autos, I'll say, and the first predicate position, autos, and then a word, hokurios?
Yes, you can have, for example, if you had another adjective modifying hokurios, suppose you wanted to say hokurios hokalos autos, you could do that. Or autos hokurios hokalos. In other words, you can put other adjectives in between there if they're going to be modifying that noun, because now you've got a whole unit. You see, since this adjective autos, I think he's going to give some examples of that. Well, let's see. I guess he doesn't give them right here yet. But there wouldn't be any real problem with that, as long as if you have another adjective modifying that noun. Then, if you're going to use this in a predicate position, there shouldn't be any difficulty splitting that up a bit. We've seen that already with regular adjectives, so it's really no different. Yes?
Can you have a double predicate position? Like, could you say, if you want to say the Lord himself is good,
mm-hmm.
could you say, Hokurios autos kalos, or if you want to say the Lord is good himself,
mm-hmm.
you know, could you say, Hokurios kalos autos? I mean, would they be...
I don't think that difference in word order would come out in English, giving that difference in meaning. You probably would say it this way. If you wanted to say the Lord himself is good, you'd probably say autos hokurios kalos. In other words, you'd probably put that first one in the first predicate position just to get... You know, they'll tend to polarize them on one end or the other. When they get two things like that, see, they've got two predicate positions, so you know they'll put one in the front and one in the back. And if you want
to,
what was that?
Is that a valid sentence in itself?
Oh yeah, yeah. That would be a complete sentence, because now, see, autos hokurios kalos, the autos hokurios part wouldn't be a valid sentence, because the predicate position with autos doesn't signify that other mechanism. But once you put kalos in a predicate position, now you've got a verb to be implied, and you've got a sentence structure. So you've got a predicate sentence structure. So now, as far as saying the good Lord is. The Lord is good himself. Boy, that would be a tougher one. I'm not sure that the Greek idiom may not even have a way to say it that way. I can't think of a good place, because I'm not sure that we could do that by just saying, let's see, the Lord is good himself.
You might do that with another form of pronoun that we'll get to a little bit later on. That might work. I'm not sure, though. I'm not sure that you'd even say that in Greek. Okay. You'd probably just say the Lord himself is good. You know, we're going to get that idea across that way. Okay, well, we'll continue with this next Tuesday. No assignment for next Tuesday. We're not finished with this yet. Not yet. I'm going to try to have them. I've got them about halfway down the day. Probably have them back by next Tuesday.
Sounds like you're going to have a very busy weekend.
Oh, I know I'm going to.